said two things. One, VBS meeting. Two, free ice cream. And I'm going to ask Steve Hatcher to open in prayer for us.
Father, thank you so much for who you are, for what you're doing.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for your use of a local church, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you worked in people's lives. Father, we thank you as we bless, Father. And now, Father, as we think of the main purpose of the local church, Father, we tonight we pray that you indwell him, open our hearts.
Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the clock is footsteps to the ground.
See any hands, home crowd tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn ahead to that, that's where we'll be tonight. To be mindful about, of course, VBS registration is open on, and then, of course, the ice cream truck is also open outside. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and if you would please get your name. Everything during those 2 days of that meeting, and so it'll be a great time, and so that sign-up sheet is in the foyer. So last hymn is 374 tonight.
I always say, really think of the words and commit the words as you sing them to the Lord. Be thou my vision, first, second, and third.
I'll be all else to me, waking or sleeping.
Favorite hymn. What's that about? No, I'm just behind the pulpit. He'll be a blessed favorite hymn. What's that about? No, I'm just basketball bouncing outside. And I peeked through the glass and I saw the Hatcher boys out there hooping it up. And I invited myself over and I said, can I play? They're like, who are you? yeah, you can play. I guess that's okay. But I started playing ball with them, and I'll still never forget it. Brother Charlie took the old blue gospel track, 100% sure. He took me in to the house, and he explained for me the first time that I ever remember hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. He told me that Jesus loved me. He said, do you know that? I said, I've never heard that before. And he explained that I was a sinner, and that I'd done things and said things and thought things that displeased God. And because of my sin, I deserved to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. I've never heard anything like that. And he continued on. He said, but somebody paid the price for you. And the Lord Jesus died for you. And he explained Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never heard that before. It was just all new to me. I knew about Jesus. We'd gone to another type of church as a kid, but I never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And Brother Charlie, he said to me, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's offered his free gift for you. And I'll be quite honest, I prayed with Brother Charlie, but I did it because he asked me to, not because I went home and talked to my mom about it a little bit. And I said, hey, this guy told me this, and what do you think about this? And eventually, the Hatchers couldn't take it anymore. They moved out here to the farms. And I'm just so grateful. Just a few weeks after they moved out there, the bus workers came knocking on the door. Hey, we're from Brother Charlie's church, and Andy and Rick, and we want to get you on the bus. And I said, I don't know about all of that. We're having Skittle Sunday. I'm like, what's that? Everybody gets a Skittle. I said, okay, what time are you going to be here? And I just, pardon me as I go on about it, but I'm just thankful for it. Brother Tony Ballou rolled up on that old white bus. Anybody remember that old thing? screeching to a halt everywhere. You can hear the thing coming down. Like, I could tell how much time I had to get ready because I could hear it in the distance. Screeching brakes, loud motor, and he came rolling around Cherokee Street, and he screeched to a halt in my front yard, and kids hanging out the window, hallelujah, 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 praising the Lord. I said, you all are going to wake the whole neighborhood up. I said, whatever, get on the bus. I said, okay. And every time I got on the bus, I'll never forget it. We sang this bus, ripped up, tattered seats. That's a good Baptist bus, amen. And somebody had written John 3:16 on the back of one of the seats. That's what I call evangelism. But every time I came on that bus, we sang something to the effect, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I get to Sunday school with Brother Jeff and Marcella Kaufman, and they would teach. And Brother Jeff would inevitably start tearing up talking about the Lord Jesus. And as a fifth grader, I didn't quite understand everything that was going on. But you know what? In Sunday school, I heard, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then going up to junior church with a loud, large Italian man, Frank Cuzzo, and he would preach and he would yell, and I hear the gospel again, God loves you, Jesus died for you. And eventually I grew out of junior church. Some of you would say you still belong in junior church, but I end up going to the regular service, and every Sunday I'd hear the gospel again and again. And I'm just so grateful. Eventually, youth conference came around, and somebody, I'm thankful for this, paid my way to go to the Gospel Light Youth Conference in North Carolina. And it was that June 28th, 2001. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew that Jesus died to save me. And I got up from my seat in that the Wake Forest Coliseum there, and I came down to the altar, and I knelt, and I asked Jesus to save me. And you know what? He did. Changed my life. And most of you know that, but I'm just grateful tonight. I went home. My mom said, who are you and what did you do with my real kid? And I'm grateful for this church because in large part, many of you who knew my parents back then showed them the love of Christ. You loved on them. You were grateful for them. And that made all the difference in the world. Just sharing the love of Christ. My mom said, what's different about that church? It must be something in the water over there. I said, no, it's the gospel. These people love Jesus and they love you. So as you know, most my mom, I went off to Bible college, but I came home for break, and my mom came to church with me, and she, with the service was just, the Lord was working in her heart, and she walked the aisle, and she got saved right in the front row, passed her letter to the Lord. And I just love telling that story. My mom got baptized on Thanksgiving Day, like some of our Mont Saint Angel. You got baptized on Thanksgiving. But my mom did the elevator all the way down the water and all the way back. And then a couple years later, my dad, who was bitter against God, said, I don't want to go to church. He was trying to be a good dad. He came to hear me play trombone, and it wasn't very good. But I got him in church, and you all showed him the love of Christ. And then one Sunday he called me while I was at Bible college, and he said, I got saved. And then if you remember, most of you, or many of you, I got to baptize him with Pastor. And I always tell that story. I held him under a little bit longer just because the belt back. No. But I'm so thankful for salvation. God is so good to us, isn't he? And let me encourage you tonight. If you have a lost friend or family member, don't stop praying for them. And VBS coming up in just a couple of weeks, there's no telling. If you reach a kid, there's an open door into reaching the family. And that is what's happened in my family. My eternity and my family's eternity changed because somebody was courageous and bold enough to give the gospel, and the Lord did the rest of the work. So stay faithful, and you never know what's going to happen. Some bus kid that you tell the gospel to, God could work in their life. So I'm just so thankful for that. Hebrews chapter number 12. Tonight, I won't be long because there's ice cream, okay? we have to get you to come back somehow. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. The book of Hebrews tonight is a book written to the Hebrew Christians that were scattered abroad and they were facing persecution. Hebrew Christians were being challenged. They were being persecuted. They were being jailed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew writer knew all that was going on, and they were being challenged. He was reminding them, don't go back into your old traditions. Don't go back to those things, those dead works that you were doing. Instead, move forward. And I want you to know tonight that God calls us to move forward. He calls us on. He doesn't want us to relax. He doesn't want us to hold on for the rapture, but he calls us forward. He reminded the Hebrew Christians that were scattered abroad that the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, they were people that started drifting from God and his word. They weren't believing what God had said. They started drifting from God and his word in chapter 2. And then the Hebrews, the Israelites started to be dull of God's word, and they were moving away from what God had said. You remember they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. They were drifting from God's word. They got dull hearing God's word. And then they moved from drifting to being dull to doubting God's word. It was because of their unbelief that they were unable to enter in to the promised land, and they went from drifting from God's word, from being dull about God's word, to doubting God's word, and then finally just outright defying God's word. And the Hebrew writer is saying to them, don't let that be you. Don't drift from the word of God. Listen, the word of God is our everything that we need for faith and practice. Our pastor says from time to time, he says, if the Bible's not true, then nothing matters, but it is true, so nothing else matters. Don't drift, don't get dull in the word, don't start doubting, and don't defy God's word. And he's reminding them, don't let that happen to you. The Hebrew Christians were being persecuted. Possible to please him, for he that cometh the Son, in chapter number 1, he reminds the Hebrew following after angels. They thought angels were a big deal, and they can be, but the Hebrew writer says, listen, Jesus is better than the angels. That he's not just a little bit better than the angels. He's not just a lot better than the angels. He's not sometimes better than the angels. No, he is infinitely better than the angels. Okay. But what about Moses? Moses, one of the greatest leaders in all of history, certainly through the Bible, a man that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And the writer says, no, Moses is great. Moses was used of God in a great way. But let me remind you of King Jesus. He's not just a little bit better than Moses. He's not just a lot better than Moses. He's not just sometimes better than Moses. He is infinitely better than Moses. But what about Aaron, the high priest? He was somebody that we looked after. He did the sacrifices. And the writer says, hold on just a second. Jesus is not only a little bit better than Aaron. Jesus is not only a whole lot better than Aaron. He's not sometimes better than Aaron. He is infinitely better than Aaron. And let me challenge you tonight, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what might call you away from your walk with God, Jesus is infinitely better. Not just a little better. Not just a lot better, not sometimes better, but infinitely better. So the writer says, this is a race that we're in. I'd like you to look again at verse number 1 of our text. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You notice the picture that God gives us in Hebrews chapter 12. Our Christian life is a race. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Christian life is not pictured as somebody sitting comfortably holding on for the rapture in a recliner. It's not a spectator sport. It's not a life of standing still. God says that the Christian life is a race. It's a race that requires preparation, a race that requires discipline, a race that demands endurance. And if you've ever run one, you know that one thing is for certain. If you run a race, you don't win it on accident. He calls us to run a race and to run it well. Over the last few months, I've stepped into the world of long-distance running a little bit. I've dabbled. I've read articles. I've watched reels. I've listened to experienced runners talk about running. And I know in our congregation, there are several people in our church that know way more about running and long distance than I care to know. We can talk about it over ice cream if I get something wrong. But if you're wondering, I did actually lace up a pair of running shoes, and I started running myself, and I hate it. Who runs just to run? If you do, that's good on you. But what I am thankful for in learning to run is the lessons that I've learned from it that parallel this passage so wonderfully. Every mile has lessons that can be learned in our Christian lives. Every hill, if you've ever run up a hill, you know it's humbling. I've learned that running is sort of a microcosm of our Christian life, and running has its way of revealing what it exposes you. It uncovers your weaknesses. It tests your resolve. It reminds you that finishing is more important than simply starting. The believers in Hebrews were growing weary. Some of them were slowing down. Some of them were thinking about quitting. God didn't tell them to find a comfortable place to relax. He didn't tell them to settle for surviving. He called them, and He calls you and I to run. Can I remind you tonight that God has not called us to coast to heaven? He has called us to press forward and called us to endure, and He has called us to finish our course with joy. Finish the race. So tonight, I want to be an encouragement. And don't worry, ice cream is coming, I promise. If you're tired, discouraged, or distracted, or simply standing still, my invitation for you tonight is to lace them up. Let's run this race well together. I'm going to give you four quick things, and then we'll be done. First of all, I want you to consider the reason for the race. The reason for the race. Look at verse number 2 of our text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest He be wearied and faint in your minds. I want you to think about tonight the reason, consider the reason for the race. I said a moment ago, I hate running just for running's sake. But if you say to me, Brother Kevin, I want you to run a route, I'm going to throw a football to you, I'll run. I'll go after it. I'll try to catch it. I'll probably miss it, but I don't mind running to catch a pass. If you're throwing a football, I'm going to run after it. Maybe you say tonight, Brother Kevin, we're going to play, Brother Mike, basketball. I will run up and down the court until my knees are sore, but that doesn't take very long nowadays. But I will run all day long playing basketball. I'll shoot the ball, and if you've played with me before, you know I've never met a shot that I didn't like. But I'll run up and down the court all day long. Because there's a reason behind the running. If you say, Brother Kevin, the ice cream truck just passed by your house and it's a couple streets over, all of a sudden I turn into Usain Bolt and I'm running after that thing. There's a reason behind the running. Tonight, what is the reason behind our race? One word, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Think about His person. The Bible says there in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm reminded tonight of the lovely Lord Jesus who ran His race for you and for me. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. He's almighty. He's my buckler, my creator, my deliverer, my defense. He's eternal, my friend, my father. And I get to run my race, not against Him, but with Him and for Him. Looking unto Jesus, think about His person, think about His purpose, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Considering that Jesus ran His race for me, I want to run my race for Him. Think about Jesus' purpose in your life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, it was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you tonight, consider His person and consider His purpose. He came, lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on a cross. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and He did all of that because He loved you and He loved me. You know, when I pause and think about what Jesus did, it makes me want to run my race a little bit better. It makes me not want to throw in the towel when I consider what Jesus did for me. Sometimes when you get weary in the race, sometimes when you get tired and you think about quitting, remember why you started in the first place. It's all because of Him. It's all because of Jesus. Consider, first of all, the reason for the race. Secondly, tonight, consider being faithful over being fast. Consider being faithful over being fast. Now, don't get me wrong, when you're in a race, it's a good idea to be quick. You don't want to be slow. But if all else fails, it's better to be faithful than to be fast. Look at verse number 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And here's what it says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I've learned a couple of things. I've done a handful of races and different challenges and things, but I have learned that there's patience involved in a race. You say, don't you want to finish as fast as you can? Absolutely. But sometimes you have to have patience. You can't just run all the way through it. You have to wait. Sometimes you have to push, know when to push and to run a little harder. Sometimes you have to know when to slow down. And I learned that lesson. Several years ago, I did a 5K down at Riverbend Park. How many of you know where Riverbend Park is? Just down the road here. It's a beautiful place, a wonderful place to just relax and take your mind off things. And so several years ago, I signed up for a 5K down there, but I did it with very minimal training. What a bad idea. I used the popular training app Couch to 5K. And it's an app that helps you. It gradually extends your endurance. It helps you. You run and then you walk and then you run and you walk and it gradually extends the time you're supposed to run. But I'm sad to say tonight that there was a lot more couch than there was 5K when I was training for it. So when I got to the park, I was like, let's do this. But I noticed several of our church members also signed up for that race, including some of our teenagers. At the time, Skylar, she was a teenager, Ayla, Ansley, teenagers, they were all there. And I said to myself, to any of the church members, I have a reputation to behold and to uphold. So we gathered around, we're stretching and doing all the things, and I had to come up with a way that I was going to win this race. I formulated a plan as I lined up at the starting line. It's only 3.1 miles. How hard could it possibly be, right? And so I got at the line, and I started formulating a plan, and my plan was I'm going to get ahead, and then I'm going to stay ahead. And they can eat my dust. I'm after it. I'm getting after it. Here we go. And sure enough, the bell went off, and off I went. Here we go. We're getting after it. And I am ready to get in front. And I went off as hard as I could. I was running. I was cutting through the competition, making my way to the front of the line like a knife through hot butter. But after a while, I thought to myself, man, I must be near the end of this race based on how I felt. Man, my lungs were burning. My legs, they felt like concrete. Sweat ran down my face, and I started seeing those little spots you see when you get too hot. And I thought, man, I feel awful. I must be near the finish line because I feel so terrible. There's no way it can be this hard. So I thought. I managed to look down at my smartwatch through the stinging sweat in my eyes. 3 minutes had gone by. I was at a 15th of a mile. It was then that Ayla passed me like I was walking backwards. You remember this, Ayla? Of course you do. Hi, Mr. Kevin. Not even out of breath. No strain in her voice whatsoever.
Hi, Mr. Kevin.
I wanted to trip her, but I couldn't catch her, so... Ansley, hi, Mr. Kevin. Skylar, hi. I watched all of them disappear around the bend, as did many of the other church members. I continued the race with a sad combination of walking, running, and crying. And then walking again. So, but I did finish the 5K, and we can talk about that over ice cream later if you want to know my time. But I learned something that day. There's patience involved with running. There are times in racing and in your Christian life where there's periods where you have to wait. You can't just go after it. You have to wait. There are times you can't just bust through everybody and try to make to the front. No, you have to wait. There's patience involved. I was training up in Georgia. I went to go see my mom a while ago, and I have one of those weighted vests. And obviously, you look at me, you say, "Brother Kevin, you don't need another weight and more weight to add to yourself." I get it. And there, I was doing this run, and I wanted to stop. I wanted to quit, but I'd heard somebody say, you know, just set a small goal in front of you. So I was running on this sidewalk in Hinesville, Georgia, and I said, I don't want to stop. I want to keep pushing forward, and I just want to put one foot in front of the other. Hey, what if I just make it to that telephone pole that's right there, and then maybe I can slow down. And sure enough, you get to the telephone pole, and hold on, maybe if I can get to that light post, and maybe I'll stop there. And it's just a little bit ahead. Keep going, keep moving forward. And I got to the telephone pole, and I got to the light pole, and oh, I don't want to stop just yet. Maybe if I get to that speed limit sign, then I can stop. And on it goes, but just keep moving forward. There's no place to quit. Be patient in your race. You'll get there. God's not failed, and he's not going to start now. It requires patience. It requires perseverance tonight. Running is hard. There are days you don't want to put in the work. I know that. I don't want to run. I hate running. There are days when you want to throw in the towel. But again, it points all back to the reason of the race. Look at verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, when I want to quit, and when you want to quit, consider Jesus. He was backstabbed. He was lied on. He was abused. He was beaten. And if anybody had the right to throw in to say, I'm not going to do this anymore, it was the Lord Jesus. But no, the Lord Jesus kept moving forward. In your Christian life, take the small steps. Get up and read your Bible. You say, I want to throw in the towel. This isn't for me. No, don't throw in the towel. Just take the next step. Keep on reading your Bible and keep on praying and keep on coming to church. And don't throw in the towel and don't quit. This is the race that you're running, and it requires patience and it requires perseverance. And if you say, well, how do we do that? Follow King Jesus. He already did that. He ran his race. And he's an example for us today. Consider the reason for the race. Consider being faithful over being fast. Thirdly tonight, consider running smarter and not harder. Look at verse number 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here it is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, I started with these weight vests, and I'm weird. I kind of enjoy the weight vest. You get kind of used to it. You throw it on. It's about 20 pounds, and it's not good on the knees, I can tell you that, but you kind of get used to it. And I did a ruck challenge over the month of May. You raise money for veterans and things like that, and so you had to ruck 50 miles, and rucking is you put a pack on, you put weight on, and you just go. And so I actually enjoyed the challenge, but let me tell you something. Having that weight on and the backpack on and this Florida heat, it can get real bad real fast, okay? But when you take it off, oh, man, I feel like I can run like a gazelle, even though I can't. But God reminds us in his word tonight that sometimes there are things that are not necessarily bad things, but they are things that can weigh us down. And he says, lay it aside. Did you hear that tonight? Sometimes we don't have to use, as Christian people, it's easy for us to discern what is good and what is bad. And we don't go towards the bad, Lord willing, right? And we know what is good and bad. But in the Christian life, sometimes the harder decision is not choosing good and bad. It's choosing between what's good and what's best. And sometimes we get weighed down with different things, and that would hinder your race. That would slow you down in your race. You won't run as effectively in the race if you have things weighing down. Sometimes our careers can weigh us down if we put all of our time and all just everything we have into our career. Keep Jesus at the center of it all. He's not a part of the big picture. He is the big picture. But sometimes if we put too much into a career,
That's something that can weigh us down. Sometimes we like to put too much into our hobbies. I have hobbies and you do too, but that can easily become a weight if we let it. Sports can be something that is a weight that slows us down. Entertainment can be something that is a weight that slows us down. Even ministry activities could be something that slows us down. It could be a weight if you let it take the place of God. All of these things are not bad things. They're good things, but if you let the good thing take the place of the best thing, it's not a good thing at all. It's a weight. God says, lay it aside. Get rid of it. You think about several times in the scripture where the people were in peril on the water. I think of Acts chapter 26 and 27 where the apostle Paul was going through Euroclidon and they were going to sink. Their ship was in great peril. They were going through this tempestuous storm of wind and waves. They decided there were some things that are there that they need to throw overboard so they can stay afloat. That's what God tells us to do. Sometimes there are things that are weighing us down in our Christian life. He says, take those things and throw them overboard. Ask God to search my heart and know me and try my thoughts to see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You got to get rid of the weight. Don't let the things of this world, which are not all bad things, there are a lot of good things, don't let it distract you from the best thing. Lay aside the weight. And then he says, cast away the easily besetting sin. Sin in the context of a race or things that can disqualify you or I or cause us to fall in this race. I want you to do something for me this week, and I'll do it for you. But I want you to pray for me that I can run a good race. My heart is burdened. I've known people that have been in ministry, and they serve God, and they had such potential, but they're no longer serving God. They've disqualified themselves, or they've gotten into trouble, and they're no longer in that race. And I hope you'll pray for me, and I'll pray for you. But the Bible says, cast away sin. The devil is wicked, isn't he? He is seeking, he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that the devil wants your influence for Christ to disappear? The very word devour means to make disappear. He wants your influence to disappear. And so God begs us, he tells us in his word to throw away the weight that's weighing you back and cast away the easily besetting sin. Run smarter, not harder. Run your race well. And lastly tonight, and then we're going to finish, consider running smarter, not harder. Consider being faithful over being fast. Consider the reason for the race. But lastly tonight, consider the waiting witnesses. Look at verse number one again. The waiting witnesses. Verse number one, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When I was younger, growing up in the church, I used to think this great cloud of witnesses, wow, my loved ones, they're peeking over the portals of glory and they're watching me run and man, they're looking down. You know, I know that the people that are in heaven today have much better things they can be doing than watching me. It's not people peeking over saying, oh, look at, nope, don't do that. Ooh, don't eat that. No. But if you go back to Hebrews 11, that is your cloud of witnesses. He goes through and he talks about Abraham and Moses and he talks about all these people that have been faithful. I love the Bible. One of the reasons I love the Bible is because when the Bible talks about somebody, it doesn't only give us the good, it also gives us the bad and the ugly. There's people that have run their race, this cloud of witnesses, they've run their race and they finished their course. They finished it with joy. And yes, there were times where they tripped up. There were times when they slipped up and there were times where they failed. But somebody who runs a good race doesn't let that stop them. They get up, they dust themselves off and they keep on going. Hey, look, there's people that we know about. Moses, he struggled with some things, didn't he? Abraham, he struggled with some things. And there's people all through the scriptures that they ran their race. They ran it with patience. They finished their race. And yet they failed, but they kept on getting back up and running the race again. Consider the waiting witnesses. Let their testimony encourage you today. Just a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to run in another 5K in Jensen Beach. And this time I planned and I prepared and I didn't get off to the huge start that I wanted to, but I went slow. And I was still very slow. That's okay. But I didn't stop running this time. although I wanted to a lot. And the lady passing me with the stroller with her kid in it said, "You're doing just fine." Just, thanks. Appreciate it. Whatever, man. But the thing I remember about that 5K the other week was I could see the ending just in sight. I saw the police car where you're supposed to make the right turn into the parking lot and then the big inflatable arch that you're supposed to run through. And it was amazing to me. I wanted to stop. My lungs were on fire, breathing this humidity in this state. I'll tell you what. But as I turned the corner and there was the arch, the finish line, and there was people that were lining the streets and they were cheering you on. It's a reminder, one day when we get to heaven, our race is going to be over. And there's people, and in my case, there's a lot of people that finished before I did. But let's get after it. Finish your race with joy. Remember tonight the reason for the race. Remember to consider being faithful over just being fast. Remember tonight to run smarter, not harder. And then consider tonight the waiting witnesses. And let's together run our race well all the way to the finish. God's people said, let's pray together, may we? Father, thank you for the clarity of the Word of God tonight. Thank you for such sweet salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness tonight. I pray that something that was said from your Word might be an encouragement to those that are here tonight, maybe those who are listening. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's thinking about quitting, throwing in the towel, can't do it anymore. Lord, help them to put one foot in front of the other, to keep trusting you and to run with patience. We go through seasons that are awful and down and sometimes just dark. But help us to get through those seasons trusting you, living a life of faith, Lord. We pray that you'd bless this invitation in just a moment, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. In just a minute, the piano is going to begin to play. We're going to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." But I wonder tonight, is there somebody here that says, "Brother Kevin, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I'm a believer. And I have Bible reasons that I could show you to prove it." But you say, "Brother Kevin, I know for sure that if I died today, I'd have a home in heaven. But I needed this reminder tonight." Would you just raise your hand with mine? I needed the reminder myself. Keep on running. You can finish this race with God's help. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Kevin, I'm not sure that I have a home in heaven. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, or I have questions. I'm just not sure about it. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you." If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, would you just raise your hand with mine? I'd love to pray for you. All right, I don't believe I see any hands. In just a moment, this altar is going to be open or right there in your pew. Have a time to do business with God. Ask Him to help you to be faithful and to just show up. It's better to show up than to show out. And ask God to help you finish this race. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. I pray that you bless this time of prayer and invitation. In Jesus' name.